part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
This episode of Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Newark Auto Body. With winter weather and slick road conditions comes black ice and accidents. And if you've been in an accident and your car needs a little TLC, look no further than Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Safe, reliable collision repairs is their business. Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body is a local, family-run, and veteran-owned business serving Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas. And guess what? They work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. And if you're a U.S. military veteran, even better. Ask about their special discounts for vets at the shop, and they'll be happy to help. Look, it can be hard to find a trustworthy car mechanic, but the people over at Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body have you covered. They do. They care for you first and make sure they keep you safe and get you back on the road as quickly as possible. Visit them at autobodyofnewark.com and autobodyofzanesville.com to get your repair started today. You can find those links in our show notes. Their iCar Gold Class team of skilled collision repair technicians will make your vehicle like new again. Again, that's Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body, partnering with Press Play Podcasts.
Your long wait for a new podcast is over. I'm Steve Phillips, and I'm super excited to announce that I will be doing a brand new podcast, Exit Polls. I'll be part of the Press Play Podcast Network. A little bit about myself. I'm a proud native of Cleveland Heights, Ohio. I have the same roots as Super Bowl champions Jason and Travis Kelce, although I do not know and have never met Taylor Swift. I'm an author, activist, observer of politics, and I've written two best-selling books, Brown is the New White and How We Win the Civil War, that helped to dissect and analyze what's happening in our nation's politics. I bonded with Chase Smith of the Press Play Podcast Network over our shared outrage over the Cleveland Browns selling their soul to sign a certain quarterback. As we got to know each other the past couple years, Chase asked me to consider hosting Exit Polls. And I'm happy to do it and happy to be here. As the political season heats up, we'll be coming to you every other Friday to make sense of and perhaps make fun of what's going on in national politics. Offer some information, education, a little fun. May even throw in a few sports metaphors to grasp what's happening in national politics. We start on April 12th. You find us wherever you get your podcast. Tune in and join us on Exit Polls.
Breakers, that sound means it's time for Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network, Playoff Press Edition, episode number 2. I'm your host, Chase Smith, feeling much better with me. He is the NBA writer for HoopsWire.com. He's our Cavs insider, national NBA writer, Sam Amico. Also with us, John Sable, sports at Fox 8, host of Saber Brothers on the Baseline podcast right here in the Press Play Podcast Network, both of which were at the Rock for Game 5. Cavs magic. Cavs pull one out of their sphincters to go up 3-2 in this series. 104-103 victory over the Magic. Sam, John, what was the vibes in the arena? What was the vibes at the Rock, Sam? What was going on inside?
I would say the vibes from the fans, they really had to be coaxed into cheering by the PA guy. There was moments of loudness and hype and all that, but you know, I mean, this is a playoff series that's very much a punch in the mouth type of back and forth thing. There's not a lot of beautiful basketball being played by the Cavs. You know, they're getting the job done. So I think the crowd's reacting accordingly. But the big shots, you know, everybody's going nuts for the big shots, and there were plenty of them tonight, I would say.
John, were people nervous and sphincters tightened because Marcus Morris was getting meaningful playoff minutes for their team?
Oh, I think so, until he kept hitting some shots and everyone kind of relaxed and was like, where did that come from type of thing. But, you know, the crowd in these playoff games, they're always the best in the league. You know, they're always into it. But Sam's right. It just – there was some nerves just because this is some bad basketball on both sides, and you just don't know where it's going to go. And it's to no fault of both teams. It's just the way it is. You got a 4 versus a 5 and an offense that the Cavs have that's still trying to feel its way out, and a team that's way more talented than the Magic. And it just, it shouldn't be this hard, in my opinion. But it is. But
that's
it is.
Interesting take. Way more talented than the Magic. You think we're way more talented than the Magic, John?
Absolutely.
Sagan?
Absolutely. Yes. Chase. Oof. Because you know why? Because I said this last year. Look at the teams that are young in the playoffs. They historically don't advance. I don't know that the Oklahoma City Thunder, I wouldn't have picked them to beat the Pelicans if the Pelicans had Zion Williamson. Just historically young teams.
That might be your worst take of all time. The number one team in the West not advancing past the play-in Pelicans if they had a healthy Zion. Sam, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Oklahoma City cloud farts.
There's only like 6 games separating them, Chase.
No. Sam.
Yes, there was. Look at the standings. There's like 6 games separating them. My point is... that young teams don't advance. Chase, I've been covering this a lot longer.
You're right.
Young teams typically don't advance in the playoffs. The Magic have a roster of playoff rookies. The Cavs, therefore, went into the season and the series as heavy favorites.
Yeah. You're
so,
right.
So, I mean, I think Banchero's going to be a wonderful player this year. Or coming up in the future, he's a great player now, but I think he's going to be dynamite. But he shouldn't be, you know, to this point where the series is super close.
I wish people could see us recording this now, because the more passionate and angry you get, the closer your phone gets to your face. Whenever you were, I'm an old man. Get off my lawn, energy. Your phone was right up to your nostrils, and all I saw was up Sam's nose. You were getting fired up there. Well,
was there hair there?
I don't know. I have a confession, guys. I at halftime thought the Magic were going to win by 7. And here's why, John. Here's why. The Magic got every shot they wanted, anytime they wanted. They were punching us in the mouth, literally bullying us. The refs were letting the Magic be physical, and any moment we tried to be physical back was a foul. That's shown in the foul disparity. It only made it not seem as bad because of the 7 or 8 foul shots we attempted in the last like 4 or 5 minutes, or else it would have been way worse. So I was wrong. I thought we were going to lose that game, John.
You know, Chase, there's one thing that the end of that second quarter reminded me of was the end of the second quarter, I think it was, or at the end of the fourth quarter of game 2, when the Magic went on a run and made it a little interesting. And that momentum from that little run of game 2, I really believe, carried over to games 3. And then, of course, we all know what happened in 3 and 4.
You talked about that today.
And that run that the Magic had at the end of the second quarter to cut the – halftime deficit to what, 1 point? I'm like, oh man, this isn't going to go well. And the third quarter was going to be the difference, because the Cavs got outplayed. Usually, that third quarter historically, especially in these playoffs and in the last 3 years, has been the worst quarter for the Cavs, even going back to the LeBron years. But tonight, it was the second quarter. But you know what? The Cavs got some stops, but the Magic also didn't shoot the ball well. But let's just be honest, guys. Both teams still didn't shoot the ball very well. And we were expecting guys to hit shots, and they did, because Max Strus finally got off the schneid and hit some big threes tonight. Marcus Morris came off the bench, 12 points off the bench, which no one saw that coming. And that really was a big difference. Tristan Thompson got minutes. Sam Merrill got minutes, although they didn't provide much in the point column. But give credit to JB to switching and shaking things up to seeing what worked, and it worked tonight. And for a veteran guy like a Marcus Morris, you want to see that. And I think that's that leadership and that veteran presence that a team like the Cavs struggling at this time was a welcome sign.
Sure. Let's talk about Max Strus. Sam, I pray that my kids have the confidence that Max Strus showed in this game, pulling up in like he wasn't set, just pulling up from like 35 feet, launching threes. I wouldn't even call him heat checks because he didn't hit any consecutive shots before that. He like just drew a charge. He's like, yeah, I'm fired up. Heat check. I drew a charge. Like, I pray that my kids have the confidence that Max Strus has, but no one else was hitting shots. No one else was getting looks. Everyone else was still crapping their pants, dribbling the ball, not doing stuff. Karis LeVert had turnover after turn. Like, it was just, he was the only one doing stuff, trying to make stuff happen. And it worked, Sam. It worked.
Yeah, and good for him. You're right. I mean, he was not making anything, but he was really, really, and he always plays hard. But I just thought he took it to another level in this game. He just, I don't know whether it was just an extra determination or kind of that, maybe that heat culture he may have brought with him. But, you know, you could just tell he was doing everything. And you brought this up last or after game three, Chase, and you know, the fact that, yeah, he might not be making shots, but he's doing everything else. And now, you know, he finally connected on some biggies there in the fourth quarter, kind of got feeling good, and that's really, you know, super helpful, especially, you know, we haven't even mentioned, we forget that Jared Allen didn't play, you know, because of the bruised ribs. So they really couldn't get anything going inside. Not that Allen's going to, you know, post people up, but he's going to create space down there.
Yes. Max Strus, 16, 6, and 5, 4, 10 from 3, 2 charges, doing everything, John. We needed Strus tonight. We needed everything that he offered.
Well, we did. And like I said this in our pregame stuff for Fox 8, and we talked about this, us three, the shots are going to fall at some point. It's just a matter of when for him and for anybody else. And in clutch situations tonight, it finally happened for him. It was, 4 for 10 from beyond the arc? Entering the game, I believe he was, 3 for 21 in the series. And, you know, that is a lot of who he is as a player. I mean, he's a streaky shooter at times, but you'd like to see him be a little bit – connect more often. And tonight he did when it matters most. But to Sam's point, and you can see it, man, he is running around the court with his head cut off. For a guy who – he doesn't lack any confidence whatsoever when it comes to his shooting. He's going to chuck it up there regardless if he's 0 for 50. But it doesn't affect his defense. It doesn't affect his work ethic. I mean, he shakes it off. I can't think of a player on the Cavs team, maybe in the last 10 years, that was like that outside of like LeBron and maybe Kyrie, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Love. But like he's faster than Love, so I don't know. He's just all over the place.
Strus, 40 minutes tonight. Played 40 minutes tonight.
And he almost fouled out, and some of those fouls were some BS calls on the ref side. I mean, you know what? If the Cavs would have lost tonight, I'm not going to say that's why they would have lost. But he got robbed on some of those calls. But anyways.
The refs were calling both teams differently, and it was infuriating. And I have no idea what was going on. Banchero's getting the all-star whistle. He had the game. I mean, 39-8-4, 4-7 from 3. Really just getting any shot, any look he wanted, which at the end of the game, they just didn't fall. But
when he gets hot, I mean, he gets hot, buckets, he'll take over games. But think about this. Outside of him,
points.
Chase, there's no one else on that Magic roster that's going to threaten you to do anything. I mean, the Wagner's brothers, they're a non-factor. Jalen Suggs, the only thing Jalen Suggs did well tonight was shut down Donovan Mitchell. I mean, his defense was suffocating on him. And that can't be understated enough. And got to give credit to him. Magic have got something there. Yeah. And we can talk about Donovan struggling, and we should, and we will. Yes. But a lot of that is on Jalen Suggs' defense. And no one really is talking a lot about that, in my opinion.
He was in Darius Garland's grill all game and Donovan Mitchell's grill all game, being physical, just really making life – just tormenting them, and it showed in the stat line. Mitchell led the way with a quiet 28 points, but 9 and 23 from the field, Sam. 1 and 7 from 3. just nothing came easy for him. Sam, is Mitchell injured? What's going on with Mitchell, Sam?
Yeah, I think that his knee is clearly still bothering him. And then we saw him crash to the ground, you know, or fall to the ground when there was, I guess that was what, John, in the third quarter?
It looked like a knee to his side of his knee or side of his thigh, like a little stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still bothering him, you know, and I mean, they're going to throw everything at him, just like the Knicks did last year. That's just, it's going to be, you know, it's so funny to me that we watch regular season basketball and it's, you know, trying to keep teams under 120 points, and now they're fighting to get just to 100 in the playoffs, especially in this series. It's been very, very grinded out, and, you know, they're just doing what any team would do. They're physical with your guard, and especially when it's your star guard. And the Magic are doing the same thing the Knicks are. And they have a really good defender in Jalen Suggs, who's kind of like the Magic's Josh Hart from last season, who does a little bit of everything, and he gets real physical and up in Garland and Mitchell's face. So I think, you know, there's a lot of that, and not to mention the fact that when Mitchell does get past Suggs, you know, there's like three tall trees standing there waiting for him.
Magic have length. It's a problem.
Great length.
Yeah. My goodness. Sam, who needed this game more, Evan Mobley or Darius Garland?
Well, that's tough. They both really needed it, but I would say Garland really needed to get going, because they needed to generate some offense, especially him. He needed to become an offensive threat, get his confidence back up. You know, Mobley, the difference with Mobley, obviously him being a power forward, is he will always impact a game defensively. Garland is never going to impact the game defensively. So he needs to get it going on offense. And, you know, he really did. He came out all guns a-blazing. He cooled off a little bit later, but I just really, you know, we've been trashing them all series, and with good reason. And I thought he played a great game tonight.
Yeah. John, would you agree, or do you think who needed this game more?
Oh yeah, it was definitely Garland. I mean, he needed a boost of confidence. He's not right this year. All those injuries, I think he still suffers from a little shell shock and driving to the lane from his eye injury last year to his broken jaw this year. I mean, I think it's between the ears and physically and mentally with him this season. And a game like this hopefully can do wonders for him. And you saw him, and like once he started hitting shots, he's kind of back to that vintage Darius Garland where he gets that confidence back, and he's going to pull up for a three. And he had a couple good runs there in the first quarter, and then again later in the third quarter that really, you know, got the Cavs offense going when they needed it. My concern, though, is can he do that again? Can he do it again in a moment on the road? You know, what's the old adage, Sam? You know, a series isn't a series until a road team wins. Well, guess what? A road team, the Cavs, if they want to win the series, they got to win Friday. Or then they got to come back home and win on Sunday. Sunday?
You're right. Yeah, the 5th.
You know, so I need to see this type of play from a Mobley and a Garland again on the road. And Strus has done it before in Miami. I know he's got it in him. It's just a matter of if the shots are going to fall. Mobley, to me, tonight, for the first half, I think was non-existent because of whatever reason. I mean, he wasn't doing anything. He had, 6 rebounds, I think, entering the second half. Had 6 points. So at some point, he made an adjustment at halftime. I mean, his defense was always there. But, Sam, there were times when the Cavs were pulling up some bad shots, and you and I looked at each other and pressed around. We're like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad. And then they'd have a turn from a, you know, defensive play or a steal or something that would turn the tide, and momentum would kill a run. Listen, these two guys are young, but they have enough playoff experience now to know when to turn things on when they can. It just will they do it.
You know, I think another reason why there was a lot of hesitation maybe from the fans of the Rock or concern was we just got waxed for 8 straight quarters in Orlando. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Chase, think about this. Sam brought up the 100 point thing.
Yeah.
This is the first time the Cavs hit over 100 points this series. And I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's the second time they've gone over 100 points in the last 2 years in the postseason.
I think that's correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, in typical Cleveland media fashion, it was, you know, sound the alarm, red alert, might as well look ahead to next year, trade this player, fire this coach, do whatever. And that's been the narrative for Cavs media, at least as far as I've read, since Saturday. And so you get into this, and all of a sudden this 10-point lead evaporates quickly in the second quarter, and we're only up by one, and halftime we're like, oh no. And there's this, like, everyone's sphincter starts to tighten. You're like, oh man, here we go. Is it our fault? Are we the cause of all the overreaction? Is this on me? All I'm trying to ask is this all my fault, Sam?
I don't know that it's all your fault. I think John is somewhat responsible as well. No, I'm just kidding. I think, you know, look, I know I've never once called for a coach to be fired. That's right. Just not my job. Yes. At least not publicly. Maybe privately, but
in the Cavs in the Break group chat stays in the Cavs in the Break group chat.
Well, and you know, my take is always I'm not saying this about JB Bickerstaff specifically, although it applies. You don't get out of the first round, you're a goner. That's just, yeah. You know, and that's not a bold prediction. That's just the way it goes. But I just think it's, you know, everybody's reactionary, and they have not played up to. I thought after those first two games they were going to go up 3-1. I thought they, you know, even after they got blown out in game three, we were talking like, yeah, they're going to go up 3-1, and it looked for a while like they would in game four, but you know, the second half happened, and
yeah, it was rough.
They just have not looked. They have not looked great, but here they are, one win away from the second round.
Whew. John, you think that it's going to happen? What, I mean, game five, Friday. Nope, sorry, game six. Well, hey, you know what? Let's take a quick break. I'll let you stew on that one, John. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about game six in Orlando on Friday and game seven if necessary. And then we're going to take a look around the league and see what's going on in some other conversation topics. Stick around, Cavs on the Break. Right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of the Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the dog pound coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say off-season, Tyrus, but is there really ever an off-season for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
The R&R podcast going to be rocking and rolling with you because football season is underway. College, Ohio State, the Power Fives, the MAC, the Browns. Michael Regei, are you ready to rock and roll with some football?
Kenny, I've been ready. This is our time of year. This is what R&R is all about. We're going to be with you every week. Kenny just said it, Browns, NFL, Ohio State-centric. So you got to stay with us all fall and winter long here on R&R.
That's right, the Regei and Rota podcast coming to you here on the Press Play Podcast Network. Subscribe now and don't miss a show.
Hey,
Hey, I'm Jason.
And I'm Gary.
And we love Ball Cards.
And if you love Ball Cards too, good news. You just found your new favorite podcast. From breaks to grading.
And from collecting to flipping, join us on The Ball Card Show.
The sports podcast for the sports collector.
All right, we are back. Sam Amico, John Sable, Cavs on the break. Here we are. John, game six is in Orlando on Friday, May 3rd. What do the Cavs need to do to close out the series here and advance to the second round? What do I need to do?
Chase, I had in our playoff preview pod, I had the Cavs in six. Sam, I think you had Cavs in five. Did you not?
I did.
Yes. Yeah, well, you were wrong. But I hope I'm right.
Won't be the last time.
No, but you know what, though? Like, I still hope they can do it just to get it done and get a, you know, another day rest. But I could see them losing game six and come back to Cleveland for game seven. I could, unfortunately. But I also think, though, having this win can do wonders for him. I asked that to Max Strus and Marcus Morris tonight after the game. And Marcus Morris said this type of win, this type of situation and how it played out and the way in which they played out can really help them. It was needed. So you got to overcome adversity. And that's coming from a guy who has been around the block in terms of his career and playing the playoffs and who played the Cavs in those LeBron years, the second go round.
Yeah.
And so Max Strus kind of echoed that, but said that this is something like, you know, there are a lot of players and teams, there is something that's called momentum, right? And I firmly believe there is momentum, but also there's some building blocks and there's things they can build on from this. The X factor, though, in order to win game six on the road is Jared Allen. That is the question. I could see them not winning game six without Allen and coming back and winning at home in game seven. Bickerstaff wouldn't really elaborate much on you know, Jared Allen's status after the game just because he simply doesn't know. This is like a game time thing. Sam and I were like wondering, Chase, during the game, like, okay, he's not coming up for warmups. This isn't good. And when someone's not coming up for warmups, it means you're probably not going to play. Bickerstaff said after the game, it's a day-to-day thing. So hopefully, you know, he gets a day off, or you know, they'll get a, you know, day off tomorrow, travel day, Thursday. I don't know if they're leaving Wednesday or not, but they'll have, you know, I think a shoot around tomorrow and figure all that out and get there to Friday. Maybe those extra few days will give them some added rest. Because if Jared Allen can't play Friday, I think this is going back for a game seven. I think he can. If he can play and he's at least halfway to what he is, hopefully the Cavs have enough momentum and building off of this win to close it out in game six.
Sam, if you're Coach Bickerstaff, what are you saying heading into game six?
Guys, could we play a complete game? You know, that's really what I would be saying is because we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen them put together one of their, you know, they've certainly not played anything resembling their best game in this series. And, you know, I think that's just got to be the message is let's put one together for a whole 48 minutes, you know, to stay sharp. They haven't been particularly sharp. No, I mean, in their defense, these three wins, they've gutted them out, but let's go into Orlando. Let's not get blown out. Let's put together our best game of the year and just calm down a little bit. It's like everybody's playing. Like you said, they're really tight. Just loosen up. Nobody's probably expecting us to win in Orlando now, given the, if you're the Cavs, their past two performances there. So, you know, lighten up and just relax and just play your game. And you know, don't get, it just seems like they're very, like you said, Chase, they're just very tight.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, where's the Chris Paul movement that they've shown throughout, you know, really goes back to before the All-Star break, but where is that? Let's bring that back. Let's find a way to get that out of us. Cause I just don't think that they've played, you know, anything close to their best basketball yet. They're very fortunate to be up 3-2. And yes. I'm just waiting for that one game where they just break out and put it away.
You know, if you're looking for areas to be encouraged, you know, people forget Dean Wade is out this entire round. And so if there's a way for us to get to the second round, getting him back would be huge if he is medically cleared to play. Jared Allen didn't play game five. And I don't know if there's a game we could shoot any worse from your all-star player. Like, is there a game where Donovan Mitchell is going to make less of an impact than this game? I mean, he really didn't really do much at a couple.
And Chase, he was getting frustrated too. Yeah. He was getting really frustrated. The shot before the Mobley block that would have put the game away. Donovan thought that ball was in. And if you look at his body language, I tweeted out and I sent it to you guys. Yeah. Like he like kind of swipes at the air, his frustration kind of punches at the air. And he did that a few times throughout the night. And he has not had with the exception of game one, I believe, right, Sam? Like he hasn't had a really good shooting game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's that knee. It's just it's concerning still.
Yep. So going into game six, that is Friday night in Orlando. Guys, I think the Cavs pull it out. I think they do. I think everything kind of comes together as much as it can. They can't lose every away game, can they? I mean, they have to. I don't know. Orlando seems to be throwing all that they have, all that they can at Cleveland. At home, they've shot extremely well. You know, I think Cavs take game six on Friday. I do. I think, you know, John, we talked about this again today. You know, not looking ahead to round two, but if Kristaps Porzingis is out, or at least hobbled, you know, I don't know. You mentioned the Celtics are vulnerable, and don't get Chase excited or optimistic about playoff Cavs basketball, because it is a gross thing to listen to. Sam, any other thoughts on Cavs before we jump to the rest of the league?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, look, that they're going to, before they can worry about Boston or any of that, you're right. Getting Dean Wade, it doesn't sound like much. The guy averages like 2 points or 4 points a game or whatever, or has been. But defensively, he would really help in this series just because of his length. And I think that, yeah, I think that they're going to put together, and I have no reason to believe this other than maybe hope for their sake, that they're going to put together their best effort of the season on Friday, because they know how bad they've been in Orlando, and maybe now in a closeout situation, they can pull it all together.
You would hope. John, any final thoughts on the Cavs before we get to the rest of the league?
Yeah, one more thing. You know, it's interesting. You look at game three and four, Orlando had a bunch of random guys hitting shots that don't normally hit shots, like Jonathan Isaac and even Jalen Suggs went off, and you know, the Wagner guys, whatever, Michigan Twins that no one likes. they need that type of effort to win. Is that going to happen again in the series? I just don't see it happening overall. I don't know if it's going to happen in game six or seven, or if the Cavs are going to win, but I don't see that happening, a perfect storm for Orlando to pull this out. I could be completely wrong, but Cavs, that's what I'm talking, Chase, to my original point when we first started this episode. Cavs have way more talent.
Yeah.
They do. It's just harnessing it and playing a full game.
Yeah. All right. Well, we shall see. Regardless, we'll be back on the mic to talk about Cavs Orlando. Around the league, here we go. I'm just going to kind of run by these because we're recording. It's 1:20 a.m. and we're still recording here. Just around the league, Lakers are out. LeBron in. Sam, are we going to talk about LeBron a little bit, or do you want me to just move on?
No, I think it's I think it's very interesting. Did you guys see his tweet tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, said, that's very unlike LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are saying some things. I've been reading some things. I don't know. This is the LeBron way. It's always been the LeBron way. I'm going to opt out. I'm going to get the conversation going about where I might go next. And I don't blame him. I'd probably do the same thing if I were a free agent or possibility of being a free agent. It's just very interesting. You know, we've been doing this for what? At least 14 years since the first time he became a free agent and went to the Heat. You know, I mean, it's always, where's LeBron going to be next year? What's he going to do? He loves this. He just eats it up. So I don't know. I don't know. I think he's going to go back to the Lakers. I really do.
Yeah.
But But at the same time, because I think he's out there for more than just basketball. Otherwise, yeah. I would, if he was out there for just basketball, he'd be goner. But I think he's out
but
there.
But Sam, he hasn't come out with a new movie. He hasn't come out with a new movie in forever, besides the flop of Space Jam 2.
Don't tell my kid that's a flop.
Yeah. My son loves that movie.
To be fair, I haven't seen it. I'm just saying in terms of box office.
It may be the worst sports movie I saw other than Draft Day.
Whoa. Come on.
It's that
Draft
bad.
Day.
Sam, that might be your best take of it. You've offered me your best take and worst take all in a matter of 30 minutes here. This is just the whole I'm getting the Max Struess experience in Sam Amico tonight.
Well, I'll spare you my nostrils this time since it was a better take.
Yeah, Chase, the other thing too is about LeBron. I'm with Sam. I see him resigning there. He can opt out. That way he can get a no trade clause. Because look, the Lakers tried to trade him to Golden State this past year. This is classic LeBron, man. Like, did you watch the press conference last night when he was asked that question?
I did. I saw the end where he kind of smiled.
Did you see when he kind of, the smile? He was like, "Yeah, this is falling right into my plan." That's how I looked at it.
Lakers are going to draft, Bronny, which I predicted Bronny would be drafted. No, he won't. No, he won't. I also swore that I would not talk about LeBron back to the Cavs on this podcast. And here we are, everyone else and their mothers saying LeBron is going to be in Cleveland. I don't think he's going to be anymore. But all right. So Lakers,
you're out on the LeBron in Cleveland 3.0, huh?
Yeah. He's not coming back. Yeah.
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 I agree.
Lakers out of the playoffs. T-Wolves advanced past the Suns. Anthony Edwards is here. It is the Anthony Edwards League. I'm all in on Anthony Edwards. He is starting in Team USA, and I don't think that's a mistake, Sam.
He's going out in the second round, but yeah, he's been brilliant. I mean, just absolutely brilliant. Just dominated that series against the Suns. And think about this.
You think they're
no Kevin Durant, no Steph Curry, and no LeBron James in the second round of the NBA playoffs. The tides, they are a change. And
yeah, and Anthony Edwards has taken it by storm. You don't think he'll beat the Thunder? They play the Thunder, right?
Nuggets. No, they're not beating them. That'll be interesting.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Matchups.
Yeah,
but they're not beating Denver.
It's shaping up to be a nice
player in the league.
Yeah,
it's shaping up to be a Denver repeat at this point, it seems like.
I think the T-Wolves will get him. I'm taking the Wolves in that series.
The only reason I don't is because I'm going with your philosophy, Chase. Who has the best player on the floor?
And Edwards, I think that's Anthony Edwards.
Going to be number two.
No, that's Anthony Edwards.
It's Jokic. Jokic is the best player. Jokic isn't flashy, but he gets the job done, man.
I think it's Anthony Edwards.
Nobody in the league compares to Jokic when it comes to making his teammates better. And I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. I think, they're going to have to put probably Aaron Gordon, who did a really nice job on LeBron, on Edwards, I think, but then who guards Towns, so it should be a really interesting series. That's for sure.
The Thunder sweep complete. Sixers force game six. Bucks without Dame and Giannis force game six against the Pacers.
The heck?
Yeah, that's like when the Heat won in Boston without Butler.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen?
right.
Celtics looking to finish off the Heat on Friday this evening. Thursday. I don't even know what is today. Today's Tuesday.
Now it's Wednesday.
Now it's Wednesday. They play tonight. They play Wednesday. Mavs Clips tied at 2. Game 5 is Tuesday as well. So that's kind of where we are at around the league. Sam, I'll ask John. John, you think the Knicks will take the series over the Sixers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the Sixers had a great game tonight. Obviously, Maxey just exploded. I don't know if that's going to happen again, but I just think New York's just Jalen Brunson's playing on a different level. And guys, I mean, he is he is putting himself, I think, in a different tier in the NBA that I don't think we all saw coming, even though we saw it firsthand last year in the playoffs and his coming out party against the Cavs. But the Knicks still look tough, though. They do.
Yep. Sam, who do you have in the Sixers-Knicks?
I thought the Knicks would close it out tonight. Yeah. I was a little surprised that didn't happen. I think the Knicks are going to win, too, but it might take seven games now.
Yeah, because they're back in Philly.
Yeah, and they had a chance to close it out at home and blew it. That was a surprise. So I'm going to go – I'll take the Knicks there. I still think the Pacers are probably going to win that series.
Yeah, you would think.
You know, have a chance to close it out at home.
Yeah, back to Indy, so that's big.
Yep. Celtics, looking. Do you think they'll finish off the Heat?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going back home, and the Heat still don't have Butler, not going to have Butler. They got their one surprise game in. I think that series is over.
John, who do you have in the Mavs Clip series?
Man, wait, was that tied now?
Yeah, 2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clippers have home court. Dallas can pull that off. Yeah, I don't know why, but to me, I think it's the Lucas. I think Luka and Kyrie can do it. I'm not sold on Kawhi.
I think he's hurt.
No,
Clippers still look a little old to me in a lot of ways. Yeah, I'm not sold. Like I shouldn't say on Kawhi. I should say just on a team loaded with Paul George. Can he really carry it without Kawhi being there? You got Harden and Westbrook. They're all just a shell of himself. But I don't know. I still think Dallas. Could
Harden had like 33.
Yeah, but when was the last time he did that? Like has he been doing it all year?
2 days ago.
Whoever wins that series is beating the Thunder. By the way.
Oh, I hear you saying, John. Like, when did he do that before?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I got Dallas still.
Sam says it doesn't matter. They're all losing to the Cloud Farts.
No. I'm saying whoever wins that series is beating the Thunder.
What?
Mavericks or Clippers will beat the Thunder.
Damn.
In six games.
I don't even know what to do with you tonight, man. It's past your. I think what we need to do is just put you to bed before you say anything else.
I like the Thunder. I like what they've done, and look what they've done, and they have 14 draft picks coming up over the next 3 years,
yeah,
which is amazing. But
the Mavs or the Clippers are not beating the Thunder.
No. Oh, yeah. They might even go five.
Whoever wins the Denver-Minnesota series is coming out of the West.
You know what I find interesting, Sam?
Oh, there's
a good summer podcast topic with the Thunder and those draft picks. I mean, they rose so high in terms of the standings and their development so fast that no one really saw it coming, I think. You got to think they'll use those draft picks on to get a star, somebody.
Yeah, I could see them packaging those picks to try to land somebody for sure, cuz I mean, you don't need a bunch of rookies now. Your team's pretty much set unless you want to fill out the bench with them, but even their bench is pretty good, so yeah, I think they even surprised themselves with the type of season they've had. But as stated, it's about to end soon.
Jeez.
I know a team that would love those draft picks.
Yeah. Besides the Lakers? Yeah. The Cavs? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mobley?
Garland?
Well, I think a lot would have to happen and really go bad. For that to happen.
Well,
we're not at doom and gloom status just yet.
No.
Talk to us Sunday.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this episode of Cavs in the Break NBA Podcast Playoff Press Edition. Thank you all so much for downloading and listening. Shouts to the Press Play Podcast Network for making this possible. Shouts to Newark Auto Body Shop. Shouts to Newark Auto Body. If you guys need some car work and you're around the area, check out Newark Auto Body Shop. They will take care of you. They're the best. I've been there and they got our car in quick. And it looks great. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Cavs on the Break. We always follow back. Follow Sam on Twitter at Amico Hoops. Catch all of his works and writings at hoopswire.com and at Wire Hoops. And make sure to follow John Sable at John_Sable. Catch him on Fox 8 and at Sable Brothers on the Baseline Podcast. Junkyard Dog Award, John, Sam. I know who I'm going to vote for. It's not me. John, it's not you.
Wow. Why are you voting for me? What'd I do?
Dude, you were just hot takes all because left and right, man.
Because I know you don't like the Thunder, and I keep saying they're going to get beat. Well, is that what it's for? That's reason enough for me to win it, I think.
you're trying to buy me a vote. I think they're better than... I begrudgingly think they're good. John, who Junkyard Dog Award, you agree?
Yeah, I'll give it to Sam. I like how he attacked you on that earlier in the pod. That was quite...
right on me.
That's one of many times. Yeah. Why would that just be, you know, why are you focusing on tonight? I attack Chase every podcast.
Yeah. Well, it was good to talk with you guys. And hopefully we close out game six on Friday. Mike Breen, take us out.
Congratulations, Cleveland. Your decades-long wait is finally over. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.